tonight in Paul's letter to Galatians. We turn to chapter 5 to read verses 7 through 12, the verses which form the text for our sermon this evening. Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Listen, because this is the word of God to his people. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. That's the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask this evening that as we come to your word, that you would give us attentiveness of mind, and that you would allow us to be able to hear, to understand, and to receive with faith the word of your truth. We thank you that it is a living word. We pray that its liveliness might be evident in our experience here tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Troubler. He sounds like a comic book villain or an evil character from a Marvel movie. But in the experience of the Galatian Christians, he was no fictional character. Paul, in verse 10, speaks of the one who is troubling you, the one who is troubling you, the Galatians. And the Greek word, it's a participle. Paul speaks of the troubler, the one who is causing trouble in the Galatian congregation. He is the troubler. The congregation is being roiled by his activities. The people of God are being thrown into turmoil. And tonight, Paul takes him on directly. Now, we've heard Paul interact with the false teaching that's going throughout the Galatian congregations. This evening, Paul interacts directly with the one who is apparently at the center of that false teaching. You see, false teaching is not like ideas floating like soap bubbles. Where there is false teaching, there is someone who is advancing that false teaching. Where there are false ideas, those ideas have a champion. There are those who promote, there are those who advocate false ideas. They're not disembodied ideas, but they come as the weapons being used by someone who, as is the case here, brings turmoil and distress to the church. And tonight in our verses, Paul gives us some insight into the troubler and his tactics. In fact, we're going to, from our verses, we're going to pick out a number of ideas that I believe will be profitable for us. We're going to consider the tactics that the troubler has been using in Galatia. We're going to observe the mischief that he's causing in Galatia, and we're going to learn something about the consequences that he faces. And of course, these things are given to us by the Holy Spirit, not as a lesson in history from a long bygone era. These things are given to us for our instruction, that we might be put on our guard, in order that we might be protected against the troubler in whatever form he might manifest himself in our experience. And so Paul alerts us to the kind of tactics that the troubler uses. And it seems, as Paul reiterates again, the Galatians had got off to a very promising start. Those church plants in Galatia fairly thrived. And Paul speaks of that. He says, you were running well, you Galatians. Martin Luther says that when Paul says the Galatians were running and not walking, Paul is complimenting them as a father would compliment his children. Paul is their cheerleader. You were running well. Go Galatians. And Paul was rooting for them. Paul saw them make good progress. Paul is cheering them on. The Christian life is a marathon and not a sprint. It is a race that we commit ourselves to for the long haul. Remember how the writer to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 12 that we are to run with endurance, with perseverance, the race that is set before us. We're in it for the long haul, and being in it for the long haul, we need to be on guard. And the Galatians, who were running so well, found themselves falling prey to the machinations of the troubler. A good number of years ago, back in the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, Mary Decker was the favorite to win gold in the 3,000 meters. And as the race got going, the runners were very tightly packed together on the track. And as Decker got off to a very promising start, and everyone anticipating that she was going to win gold for the United States, in the dense pack of runners, you remember that Zola Budd came into contact with Decker, and Decker went down hard, so hard that she was unable to complete the race, and certainly not able to attain that gold medal. Paul says, you Galatians, you started out well. Someone has cut in on you. Someone has impeded your progress. In writing to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 18, Paul tells the Christians there that they are to keep alert with all perseverance. We run the race with perseverance, but as we run the race, we need to be alert. And the Galatians were troubled. The Galatians had gone down, as it were, because someone had cut in on them. Verse 8, Paul speaks about this false teaching, and Paul says this persuasion is not from him who called you. This new teaching that you're embracing, this idea that you become persuaded of, doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from the one who called you. And Paul, talks in verse 7, who hindered you from obeying the truth. Verse 8, he talks about this persuasion. The word obey and the word persuade there in verse 7 and verse 8, they're actually very closely related. We obey as we are persuaded. Our obedience flows out of our persuasion that this is the way we should act. The Galatians, who started off so well, who started off so obediently, have now been persuaded otherwise. No longer are they obeying the way they once did. And Paul says, what you're now believing and what you're now doing is inconsistent with what you have been taught. The troubler has come in with ideas that are inconsistent with what they were taught, and because of their embrace of those ideas, they've stopped running the way they had previously done. And of course, at that point, Paul alerts us to something that we can do to be on guard against the troubler. You remember the Christians in Berea, when Paul and his missionary team came teaching and preaching. You remember what they did? They searched the scriptures eagerly to see if these things were so. They tested what Paul was saying against the scriptures. That's what we call the analogy of faith. When you hear something, when you hear an idea, when someone comes along with an idea, what do? You test it against the Word of God. And if it's inconsistent with the Word of God and with what God's Word clearly says, then that's an idea that's to be avoided. That's an idea that's liable to cause trouble. It's an idea that's liable to impede your progress as you run with perseverance the race to which you have been called. And so here comes the troubler. The troubler comes with ideas that are not consistent with Scripture and have the effect of impeding and hampering Christians who previously have been running diligently and in a very marvelous way. And what mischief he causes. And Paul talks about that as well. And he uses a vivid picture to describe it. He says in verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You mix in some yeast into the dough, and you knead it, and you mix it all together. And of course, that yeast permeates the dough, and its effects are felt right throughout the whole lump. What Paul's saying is that when a wrong idea comes in, when it begins to be embraced, that idea is liable to take root and to spread. And what mischief can come about then? Do you remember Jesus' parable in Matthew chapter 13 of the man going out to sow, and then the saboteur who came along after him sowing weeds? And what terrible mischief that individual caused as he sowed his seed, and then the crop of weeds begins to spring up in the midst of the field. The effects spread and become more and more evident. In fact, it sounds like that's what's starting to happen in Galatia. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Verse 10, Paul talks about the one who is troubling you. This troubler who came in. But then we notice in verse 12, Paul talks about those ones who unsettle you. If the troubler is the kind of arch villain, he has his minions. He has individuals whom he has influenced. And says Paul, they unsettle you. The language is the language that's used elsewhere in the New Testament for a disruption of the peace, for a riot breaking out. Someone who comes in with ideas that are wrong, that are harmful, who disseminates those ideas so that they begin to become embraced by others, the result leads to those ideas spreading. The result, the outcome, is trouble in a congregation. That's what's happened in Galatia, and that's what has happened in many's a congregation since then. An idea comes in, it begins to permeate, the little leaven begins to leaven and spread so that it spreads throughout the whole lump, and then a congregation is thrown into turmoil with all kinds of distress and misery. That happens. This is why it's so important for us to be on our guard. Our call to worship this evening from Psalm 122, the sixth verse tells us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit doesn't waste any ink. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we should be praying for the peace of Jesus' church. We should be praying for the harmony of God's people. Ephesians 4 verse 3 tells us that the Christians are to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's a unity of truth that's to be preserved. God's people are to make it their business to strive for that unity. We are to pray for that unity. We're to do all that's in our power to secure that unity. It is a blessed thing when brothers dwell together in unity. It really is. And those who recognize and appreciate the blessings of unity and peace among the people of God understand what a prized treasure that is. Don't take it for granted. Don't be a part of that spreading influence that Paul alludes to in these verses. We listen to the gossip. We listen to the grumbling. We grumble to others. We pass the gossip on to someone else, and the leaven begins to spread through the whole lump. The congregation begins to be thrown into turmoil. A congregational riot breaks out where believers are at enmity with one another, not in sweet fellowship with one another as they ought. And Paul is hopeful that the Galatians are going to see through what's happening. In verse 10, he says, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine. Paul has taught them the truth. Paul's prayer, his anticipation is that they will hold fast to that truth. Strong words about the troubler, but Paul finishes with some strong words about the consequences the troubler faces for his actions. First of all, our attention's grabbed by verse 12. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Very startling language. You remember that circumcision was one of the issues that the whole false teaching in Galatia was centering on. And Paul expresses the wish that something that's a minor surgical procedure would turn into a major operation, in fact, a full-scale amputation. And, well, that surely must have got the attention of the Galatians. The Galatians would have been familiar with the pagan eunuch priests of the goddess, the idol Cybele. Sorry, Cybele. They might have been familiar with her. I'm not familiar with her. Cybele had eunuch priests, and the Galatians would have been familiar with her and those eunuch priests. And as Paul's saying here, if you're going to adopt non-Christian ideas, don't make any pretense of them being Christian. Just identify yourself with the pagans, because the doctrine that you're holding on to, that the troubler is promoting, certainly not Christian doctrine. Be that as it may, Paul says in verse 10, I have confidence in the Lord that you'll take no other view than mine, and that the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. And let me just quickly break that out in several sub-points. First is this, the Lord is aware. Paul tells us the Lord is aware of what the troubler is up to. The good shepherd keeps a watchful eye on his sheep. The troubler may get up to his mischief in the corner of the parking lot or down in the, in a conversation in the bathroom, but the Lord Jesus knows who the troubler is. The Lord Jesus identifies the troubler, recognizes the troubler. He may act in a clandestine and surreptitious way. The Savior, the great shepherd of the sheep, knows who he or she is. And Paul alerts the Galatians to that fact. And of course, we know that it's also the responsibility of the elders to be alert. The fierce wolves that arise even from within the flock. Elders are to be alert and attentive to the manifestation of the troubler or his minions. And then secondly, I want you to see this. The Lord is no respecter of persons when it comes to the troublers of his flock. And you hear Paul say at the end of verse 10, the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. Sometimes the troubler is someone who is a popular, influential, powerful figure. His or her books might be bestsellers. His or her broadcasts or podcasts might attain huge followings. If that person is a troubler of the flock, it is of no consequence to the Lord Jesus whether that person be someone very famous or powerful, or be an ordinary member of a congregation. Remember Paul's words right at the very beginning of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 8. Even if we or an angel from the Lord should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preached, let him be accursed. The troubler of the flock, whether he be powerful and influential, whether he or she be celebrated and well known, or whether that not be the case, the Lord Jesus is no respecter of persons. He will deal with the troublemaker. And that's the last thing for us to see. The Lord will judge such a person. And again, verse 10, Paul says that person will bear the penalty. Literally, that person will bear the judgment. Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 6, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, to stumble, it would be better for him if a great millstone were tied around his neck and he be drowned in the depths of the sea. The Lord Jesus is concerned even for the little ones of the flock. And what a wonderful thing it is that here at Knox, we've got parents who are committed to raising their children in the truth. We've got Sunday school teachers committed to raising children in the truth. Pray for them in their work, because Jesus is concerned even for the little ones. And Jesus says that the one who troubles, who causes even the little ones to sin, to stumble, that one will be punished by the Lord. Jesus is concerned for his flock. Brothers and sisters, take heart. The Lord Jesus cares deeply and immensely for your spiritual well-being. And as for the troubler, well, Paul says the troubler, he's going to be in big trouble. Don't be a troubler. Be on guard against the troubler. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a Savior who is indeed concerned and who cares for his flock. We thank you for the safeguards the Lord Jesus puts in place for godly elders, for godly teachers who inoculate the flock against falsehood by presenting truth, and then who provide a bulwark, a barrier between those who would harm the flock and the sheep for whom Jesus has died. We ask, Lord, that you might safeguard this congregation from being agitated or thrown into turmoil by troublers. And indeed, we ask that for our brothers and sisters in the congregations of Jesus' church across this land and around the world. We ask that the troublers might be thwarted, that the flock might be protected, that Jesus might be exalted. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.